So today's topic is a very halach lemaisa topic, and not that halach lemaisa because no one's going to do this, but it's related to how halacha works. So remember, before we started the summer, Yosef had asked me, is this type of shiur you do more lamdas, more halacha? I said, whatever comes up. So I'm not a guy who only does halacha, but a guy who only does lamdas. It depends what the sugi is, and I think it's important to have that type of balance. There's some shiurim you only get lamdas the entire shiur, and you'll never see a Shulchan Aruch. I remember when I was in yeshiva, I never knew the ktsos was on the Shulchan Aruch. I never knew the Shulchan Aruch. Ktsos was a lamda shesefer. I didn't know it was on the Shulchan Aruch. It was the Shulchan Aruch of a psak halacha. So it's always very important to have balance of lamdas, understanding the different shitas, and also understanding halacha l'maisa as things come up. So I was on this, I was on a Q&A a few weeks ago, and they asked if I was on a desert island with one sefer to bring, what would I bring? So I just explained that when I try to put my learning together, I always keep a few things in mind. You have to keep in mind Bekiyas, it's important to keep moving and seeing as much of Shas or any Svarim that you're able to without fully comprehending everything. That's a whole other discussion, but just covering ground. You also have to have Iyun and know how to be a Lamdan and analyze, and you also have to have Halacha L'maisa. So that's in terms of basically learning. And then also you need to have a Seder in Musar, Seder in Machshava. That's wide if you're into Hasidus, if you're into Maharal, or whatever, something, if you're into Mrs. Yisharim. But there has to be some level of working on oneself and working on understanding a person's perspective of life. So always having that balance. The answer I gave was not an exciting answer. It was the Rambam, because the Rambam, you have Bekiyas, you have everything there. And you have, I said only if I could bring the Rambam from my days in Frisch. It was one volume, everything packed in. Not the the Frankels, that would be 14 volumes. So it was all one volume. So you have Bekiyas that covers everything. There's halacha l'maisa, and there's lamdas. There's more svarim in the Rambam than there's on Gemara. So there's so much E in there as well. So that was the answer. But always keeping these things in mind. So I believe it's a very healthy balance that people have to have Bekiyas, lamdas, and also halacha l'maisa. So this is more of halacha l'maisa, going through tshuvas. It's different lima than going through a ritva in Iran. But it's important people to have to learn how to go through tshuvas. If you go on to become a Rav somewhere, a Magid Shir somewhere, a Rebbe, so you have to, halach l'maisa, these things are fun for the kids to figure out how these things work. They're not always so receptive, Talmidim, to lamdas. You have to be able to diversify your understanding of learning and teaching. So either way, so let's go through this sugya of microphones, and similar to that could be related to hearing aids. That also comes up. We're not going to discuss it, but it's a very similar shaila. Hearing aids could be yotzei shofar through hearing aids. So it's a similar mechanism to that of a microphone. So the sugya begins on the daf chav ches here in Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara talks about tatokeya l'toch bor. A person blows a shofar in a pit, and there's of course the echoes, the ricocheting off the walls of the bor, whatever he's in different types of a cave. So the din is, if he hears the kol shofar, he's yotzei. But if he hears the kol havara, he hears the echo, so he's not yotze. So the Gemara, why he's not yotze? He heard the shofar before. So whatever the case is, he sticks his head out and the shofar's still in the bor. But lemaisa, from the Gemara, it's clear that you have to hear the actual shofar directly from the shofar. The kol comes from the shofar to your ear. But you can't hear the havara, you can't hear the echo. The echo is not good. And even if the shofar is Mu'urav with the Havara, you hear both together, you hear a concert of shofros because it's ricocheting off the walls of the cave, of the pit, that's also not yod. So you have to hear a direct link from the shofar to the ear without any type of other sounds mixing in. So that's the din straightforward from the Shulchan Aruch, rather from the Gemara. So that's brought down Shulchan Aruch as well. What's the reason? What's the basis for this? Who says the Kol Havara doesn't work? So Lavush is always Mechadish. If you ever want to hear an interesting understanding, look at Lavush. He always gives a different reason than everyone else. So no real reasons are really brought that I saw, but Lavush gives a reason. So usually his reasons aren't halach l'maisa, but they're always very intriguing. So what Lavush explains is that the reason why you're possible from a kol shofar that's a mu'urav, with a kol havara, with some other distraction, is because the pasuk says, havarta, havarta shofar, it should pass. He meant havarta means lashon hachraza. His understanding means it has to be a hechraza of the shofar alone, exclusively the shofar, a direct announcement, a direct amplification of the shofar, but no other mixing, no other sounds coming in. That's his understanding. So according to the Lavush, so if you had this Lavush, this really is a tam behind why a kol havara of a shofar is possible, what would you say about a havara of a Megillah, havara of Kriyas HaTorah, What do you think based on the Levush? No problem, right. It's a unique halacha to shofar. It says, v'havar to buy shofar. But by other things, there's no concern. He points it out. It shouldn't be a concern by other things. And that's what the Minchas Yitzchak says, as well, in Chelek Beisim and Kuf Yud Gimel, that although we have such a model of a kol shofar, a kol havar is possible, it doesn't mean it extends itself to Kriyas HaTorah and Megillah. Maybe there, as long as you hear, this at least Minchas Yitzchak says, as long as you hear the kol of the Baal Korei with a mu'urav, that's fine. It sounds like from the Minchas Yitzchak, if you heard only the kol havara by Kriyas HaTorah and Megillah, you would be not yotzei. But if you heard a combination of the chazan plus the echo, that mixture, that would be tolerated perhaps by Megillah and by Kriyas HaTorah, but he leaves it off as a tzarchi. Okay, so very interesting. So what does this all mean? What's the this is going to be probably a short shiur today, but what is the basis of whether or not we could use kol havara as a model for microphone? It's always so interesting. Now, Rav Schechter likes to say, Rav Schechter, knows a lot, and he knew a lot when he was very, very young. He knew more when he was 20 than we would ever probably will know. So like his games, he used to play games like with the Chavrusa would read the Encyclopedia Talmudis, and he, Rav Schechter, nothing in front of him, he would say where they come from, the Marmakom, the Haros on the bottom. He started reading, and Rav Schechter, oh, that's from the Rajba, that's from the this and that, and like probably at the age of 25, and so he knew the Encyclopedia, not because he memorized the Encyclopedia, because he learned everything from the Gemara that we showed him, and that was like the game they used to play. So I've heard him mention before that he used to look at a way he would test his knowledge in Yardei or any topics he learned well. He'd open up a Ramosha. He'd just look at the Shaila. Just the Shaila, what the question was, not look at the answer, and try to either write or formulate what he would think the answer would be. And he says, Ramosha always takes some other angle you would never imagine. He pulls out some Gemara you never would have thought of, and like it's just so incredible. And even Rashechter, who knows everything, he didn't think that as a Raya. It's like one thing just comes to mind right now. There's a Shaila about could you bring an animal, a seeing eye dog, into shul? A person who's blind sometimes have a seeing eye dog. Is it appropriate to bring in shul? So he quotes from a Gemara in the end of Brachos, where it talks about how either Rav or Abai, one of them, would bring a goat, I think, a goat into shul. It has nothing to do with bringing animals into shul. It just happens to be. They're talking about something, and Rav brought the goat wherever he went with him, and it was in shul. So there seems to be a raya that you could bring animals into shul. So who would ever remember that Gemara? Who would think to bring that as a Raya? But Moshe had his finger on the pulse, and every Gemara was like right in front of him. So it was always fun, he said, finding Ramosha's tshuvas. You know, there's a story of Moshe, who was once giving shir, and he quoted, everything's Baal Peh. He quoted a daf, and the guy says, no, it's Amun Beis, or Amun Aleph, something off. Moshe stopped the shir. He went to the shelf to check, and Ramosha was right, obviously, not the Talmud. So that's why he stopped in the middle of the shir. It wasn't that urgent. Because he said most of his tshuvas he pretty much wrote from his mind, Baal Peh. And if he was off by Amun Aleph, Amun Beis, I mean something's off with his memory, he can't write tshuvas like that anymore. So he had to make sure he's still able to write tshuvas. So Moshe, he was obviously an incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik and Posek. So Moshe, it's always fun to see where he brings rayas from. So one of the rayas for microphones, or one of the discussions at least, is from Kol Havara, the way a microphone works. Is a microphone going to be good enough to accomplish Kriyas HaMegillah? Kriyas HaTorah. He also reminded me, I didn't remember this, but this year, this is very relevant for this year, the past Purim, a number of people from New Rochelle and the Manhattan Girls High School is closed down because of COVID hit them first before it hit any of us. We got it on Purim, was when we got it, but they got it a week before Purim, so they had to stay home. They were in quarantine. So how were they able to be Yotzei Kriyas HaMegillah that year? So this Ramosha was very, very, very relevant. So if you're able to read on your own, so a woman's able to read on her own, that's great. If she's able to hear a recording and then read from a klaf, we had a couple of people in the shul that their daughters were in quarantine. So I said, if she could pay attention here on the phone and recite the words on her own, that's the best. But let's say she's not capable of reading the words. She can only hear. Are you Yotze through microphone? Are you Yotze through Zoom? The Zoom wasn't really relevant yet. No one knew what Zoom was. And it exists in the world, but not for us. So I don't think Zoom was really on the cards just yet. But the question was whether you could use a phone to be Yotzei Megillah. So it's very relevant. So Moshe, he talks about this idea of a microphone and uses Kol Havara as a possible model. And he says initially that he thinks that one would not be Yotzei through a microphone because it's just like a Kol Havara where the shofar is ricocheting off the walls of the bor and you hear the echo. The Gemara clearly says it's not Yotzei. And one would think to extend that to a microphone as well. You speak into a microphone, and the microphone, however the mechanism works, it generates sounds that sound like how I sound, and therefore it's a kol havar. That's the initial understanding. What's interesting, he doesn't make a chiluk between shofar and Megillah. He's not like the Levush, where it's something unique to Megillah, to shofar. It applies across the board. But then Ramosha thinks that maybe the definition of kol, it shouldn't be affected by that. Talks a little bit about what the scientists say, how sound waves work, and when a person speaks, so it travels in the air. The sound waves, it has frequencies, and it moves, and it bounces off whatever's in the air, the oxygen or something like that, and then it carries its way over to wherever it goes. So why is it different than a microphone? That also, I speak to the microphone, it also generates sound waves and moves in the air. So Ramosha says, maybe really, since the Shmir works like that in general, that it's, again, bouncing around, it's Zman Hilucha, takes time. There's a, you know, there's a speed of light and the speed of sound. So the speed of light moves or whatever, I don't know what the calculation is, but the speed of sound is a little bit slower. That's why we see lightning before we hear the thunder. Even though they happen simultaneously, it takes a few extra seconds for the thunder to get there. I don't know if it's true what they say, you know, growing up, that if you count the seconds between the thunder and lightning, that tells you how far it is, I don't know. And if it tells you how far it is, who cares? So there's certainly a difference between the sound of speed and the speed of sound and the speed of light. So it takes time. So too, I speak in a microphone, so there's a little bit of a delay. It travels, so I create the sound. I'm creating the sound, and I speak in the microphone. I'm the one being goring the sound. So isn't that considered the kol adam? So he thinks maybe it really should work. He says maybe the sound of a microphone is a nechshav kol amamish. So therefore he says, Lamaisa, he says those who use microphones for, again, we're forgetting not Hilchel Shabbos right now, forgetting Hilchel Shabbos. That Shlomo Zalman speaks in great length what's the problem. It certainly is a problem, obviously, to use it on Shabbos and electricity, how it works, Machbe Patish, Bone, and Mavir. But he's not addressing Shabbos. He's just addressing the kol of a Megillah. So he says it's possible that it really is the kol. And if you know people who are Machbit to use the microphone for a Megillah, maybe you shouldn't Ein Limchos, let them do it. If they wanted to do it such a way. He's not very fond of it. He says, we don't want to make new things, new chidushim. We want to rely on what we've been relying on in the past. But he says, there's no real, he can't find the psul. And he concludes the tshuva, mikol makom kevin shlo bar leheter, since the heter is not so clear. In chadash, it's a new thing. Bechlal yesh limchos kidei limon lirdof achre chadashos achre acherosh. We don't chase after new things. We were very fine and happy reading Megillah the traditional way, a guy going up there, no microphones. And therefore, Ramosha felt, although it sounds like halachically it should be okay, there's no need to institute something new. So it's just interesting. The truth itself is interesting, but it's always interesting finding models in halacha for modern technology. Just another Ramosha comes up, because there's another machlokes Ramosha of Shlomo Zalman, about how technology works when it comes to microwaves. Nothing to do with what we're talking about now, but how microwaves work. And they use the model of toldos cham. The din of the Gemara in Shabbos says that cooking in the sun, it's ain derech bishul b'kach. No one cooks in the sun, so it's no violation of bishul. But toldos cham, if you have aluminum foil that was heated by the sun, and now I'm using the aluminum foil, which is hot, so that's toldos cham, that would be usur. Gzerim might lead to using fire. So that's a discussion whether or not microwaves is like toldos cham, where there's a certain heat, that secondary heat that generates the molecules to move around quickly. So that itself, for Moshe and Rishon Mazalman, the Heaven of Machlokas, or Moshe writes that if the whole gather of bishels ain't derech bishabakach, it's not the normal way of cooking, so in microwaves people don't cook, and therefore it shouldn't be bishel. But he says, it was interesting, Ramoshi writes, but he predicts that microwaves will become more common way of cooking. Now it hasn't become more common, people don't use it to cook, people use it to warm things up, not to actually cook things, but either way, that was Ramosha's understanding of applying din in the Gemara, toldos chama, to a modern technology of microwaves. Shlomo Zalman had a different understanding of how it worked. So either way, that's Ramosha. He says microwaves, microphones, he thinks might work halacha, but he would not paskin to allow for it. Rav Shlomo Zalman felt very differently on this matter. Rav Shlomo Zalman, I didn't put this in the Marmar Komos, it's a longer tshuva, but those who want to look inside, it's Mincha Shlomo, Nchelek Aleph, Simintes. And he writes that the shofar granted that the sound of the shofar, you know, ricochets and moves with the wavelengths throughout the air, but he says, and so to the microphone, the sound also goes through the air, but he doesn't think that that sound from the microphone is the sound of the person who's speaking it. Something has changed in the interim. And this is really brought out as well by the by Rav Avadya Yosef. He points out that the sound you hear, although it might be the same, might be identical, and if I were to, you know, have you, you know, sit in the back room not seeing whether I'm playing a recording or an actual voice, you may not be able to distinguish between the two. Lamaisa, a sound through the microphone is not the actual sound of a person. And yes, I caused the microphone to make sound, but it's not my actual voice. And therefore, Rishon Zalman felt that person should not be yotze through the call of a microphone, whether it be a shofar, whether it be Kriyas Megillah. He does have a very interesting discussion, however, with regards to microphones and telephones answering Amen on a telephone. Can you answer Amen on a telephone? So Moshe, not in the Tshuva here, but Moshe elsewhere says, there are a couple of Tshuvas about Moshe. He talks about this piece, but I didn't bring it. I don't know why I didn't bring it. But Moshe says he thinks you can answer Amen over a telephone. It's halach lemaisa. If a person doesn't know how to say Abdallah, women and Amana may not know how to say Abdallah, and sometimes women are uncomfortable saying Abdallah because it's an inna pikabala. Women should not say Abdallah. I know with my grandmothers, when they were alive, they were Amanas for a number of years. So someone, a child or grandchild, would always call them and say Abdallah. It's not ideal at all, but there's no other choice. It's something, at least for them. So they would answer Amen. So you'd have to answer Amen on the phone. But Moshe says yes, because Moshe is the Shitasa. Moshe writes, the sound of a telephone, the sound of a microphone is really the sound. So to answer Amen, what's lost by answering an Amen? Not such a big a deal. Not such a big deal to do it. So Amen's fine, according to Rav Moshe, even though he discouraged one to use a microphone or a telephone for Megillah. But Rav Shlomo Zalman has an interesting discussion. He quotes from the Metudas David, a raya from the Gemara in Sukkah. So the Gemara in Sukkah talks about how Alexandria and the Mitzrayim in Egypt was a huge shul, massive shul. You can't imagine a shul this size. And there's like thousands of people sitting there. Even like the biggest, I don't know, a square synagogue they have, whatever the biggest Hasidic shul is, doesn't compare to the size of Alexandria. Hundreds. They said, I think, 1.2 million people were in there, the Gemara says. That's crazy. It's bigger than a football stadium. What, 100,000 people fit in MetLife? So we're talking about 10 times the size of MetLife Stadium. So it's huge. And they didn't have microphones back there. And everyone had to come in. They knew where they would sit. You'd sit by, by profession. You know, the plumbers would sit here, and electricians would sit here, and the carpenters would sit there. Everyone had their different sections. So if you're like in the last row, you cannot hear what the chazan's saying. No matter what kind of amplifier you have, nothing electric, it's not going to go that far back. Imagine standing in New York, MetLife Stadium, from the top of one end to the other end of the end zone in the stands. I'm talking about in the stands. I don't know if you could hear from one person to the next screaming. I don't know. But now imagine that 10 football fields, 10 stadiums. So I don't know how it was positioned, if it was a circle or a square, but they could not hear at the back of the shul. So how would they know how to answer Amen? So they had a whole mechanism, very simple. You know, they have in the front of some shuls, they have, like change the page number, like, okay, now page 150, everyone knows where they are. So they wave a flag. Okay, now he says the bracha, whatever, wave the flag, everyone says Amen. That's what it says in the Gemara. So he says, so too, if a person hears a bracha on the telephone, a bracha on a microphone, you should be able to answer Amen. Because this is when to answer Amen. You hear the sound comes through, and you should answer Amen. So Rav Shlomo Zalman responds to this Metudas David. And he says as follows. Second here. He says, this is possible, Efshir, the rak im omeid bebeis ha-knesses, or afilu samach lo v'shameh chazar sashats. He thinks this may only be relevant if you are in the vicinity of the shul or slightly outside. Or maybe even use a microphone within the shul, that you're part of the tzibur and you're answering Amen. So you're being yotze, the Amen of chazar sashats. Mash enken, Ramosha, rather, Shlomo Zalman says, kish omeid rachok. When you're standing a distance away, V'shomea ayde telephone, you're in a different state. V'nili she'ein lanos klal amen al shum bracha. You should not answer amen to any bracha. V'dino ke'one amen levatala. It's like saying a bracha, an amen levatala. There's an Indian of an amen yesoma. The Gemara's and brachas talk about. Hol v'hu shomea is a bracha rak mi brana, from a microphone of some sort. V'lo mi pi adam. That's not called adam. So he says one should not answer amen on a telephone. On a microphone. A microphone you can if you're in the same shul, but a telephone you should not answer amen. If a person's on a Zoom, you should not answer amen either, according to Rosh Shlomo Zalman. The practice has been that a person can say an amen through the telephone, but if one wants to be machmir, that certainly is fine to be machmir. You can be yotze the shita of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, but you're certainly not yotze a bracha. We're just talking about answering amen, but you're certainly not yotze through the bracha, through an amen on a telephone. But the whole premise of Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the reason why he says it's not good is because he thinks the sound is not the sound of Adam. Rav Moshe says, no, it does work, because since I spoke into it, I caused the sound, I caused the wavelengths, the sound to move, that's my sound. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, because since it's created from new, however the molecules or electronics work there, even though it sounds the same, it's not actually me, even though I caused it. I would think that would be considered one room. Because he even says, even if you're outside, somich, basically that says, it would be sufficient. I would think so. I think the whole plaza there would be considered one area. One other interesting piece that he quotes here in the Shlongi Chavadas, Rav Yosef Engel. Rav Yosef Engel says a different reason. He agrees to Rav Moshe, now he's before Rav Moshe, but he agrees to the concept of after speaking to scientists. And by the way, you see how important it is to, you know, not give a psak halacha without speaking to scientists. You see some people who just give psak halacha with just whatever they learn. You have to know how things actually work. Rav Shechter once told me a funny story that, when telephones became relevant in telephone wires, so there was, I forget who the Rav was, but there was one tshuva that wrote that when it came to checking the Erev, there was a shaila whether you could rely on the telephone wires to serve as an Erev. So we assume not, but let's say you can. So this posek said, so the way to check telephone wires is if you call, just make a phone call, Erev Shabbos, the call goes through, that means the Erev's up. It's around the whole city. So for Shasta, he uses that too, but to just show, you have to know how science works to show that, shoot, doesn't mean that it has to go up. I could still, this connection could be up, even though that connection's not up, whatever. You have to know science before passing certain types of shilas. So Rav Yosef Engel did the research as well, how science works and how the Shemiyah, it's a go-rain because I think I've heard in space, I don't think sound travels in space. There's nothing to work off. There's no air. There's no oxygen. So they know space was back then. They didn't have access for Moshe, I guess, did, but not Rav Yosef Engel. They didn't go up into space. But you need oxygen or whatever in the molecules in the air to have sounds bounce off of. So Rav Yosef Engel talks about this. That it's a grumma. I make a sound, and it bounces off. So by the time it gets to you, it bounced off so many different things. This wall, that's still on the floor till you got to your ear. There's a certain grum involved here. And he says, so too, it should be permitted using a microphone. It's grum as well. I spoke, it whatever was took place in the machine, in the electronics, it caused things to move. So it's all my cause, so it should be mutter. That's like what Moshe says. Even though something changed along the way. So, but Rav Yosef Engel, what he says at the end of the day, however, is that there has to be a shmiya that's derech teva. Has to be a natural movement of sound. Once you introduce electronics, that becomes unnatural. Yes, it works the same way, but his understanding must be shmiya derech teva. And therefore, he disqualified for this reason. So in the end of the day, there are two reasons, I believe, two reasons why one would disqualify using a microwave. Either, a microphone rather. Either because it's not considered Kol Adam, or it is Kol Adam, but it's not Derech Teva. Those are two reasons why Rav Avadia felt it was not good. Halacha L'maisa. How are you passing Halacha L'maisa? So the Chav Adas says that he thinks if you sit close enough where you don't need the microphone, you could be Yotze, but if you sit further away, one would not be Yotze. So it helps you, it doesn't help the other guys. But if you go to shul with a microphone, make sure to sit up front.
So even if you don't hear the actual barakah, they're close enough to hear without the microphone?
Yeah, that's what he says. Now, I'm not sure why, but my understanding is, I was talking to Benji, he brings a dimyon of a case of the sukkah, which we thought was not really a riot, just a dimyon. But the way he says this, he says, Nira, she'ela yoshim samach l'shtech tibor, v'hayu yucholun l'shmoa heitev es kriyasa megillah mipiv, even without the microphone, without the megaphone, mistaber vadai shiotzim yidechova. He doesn't say why. So I don't know if it's called haroi the bila bila, that type of concept, that you don't actually have to hear it, but as long as you're able to hear it, or it's because that you actually do hear it, but it's mu'urav with the sound that's much louder. So I don't know. He didn't explain. I was wondering that as well. But halach l'maisa, he says you're allowed to. So if you get to a shul with a microphone, get a front seat. Now, then finally, Rav Vosner, he talked about this very briefly. He just says, b'diavad, what if a person did hear by a microphone? What if he did hear? What's the din? So, I forgot to mention, by the way, that's why at chasanas, some are makbid not to say the bracha in the microphone. Some are makbid, some don't care for it. Why not? So you're still the yotze, the brachas, the chasan and kala standing right there. That's number one. The shaila just becomes of everyone else who hears and whether they're the amen, whether they're being yotze. So for Shlomo Zalman, so you're in the same room. So you're yotze through the amen. That's fine. He would think it's okay. But some are makbid that you should dafka hear the sound itself. And therefore, some are makbid not to speak in the microphone. But seemingly, according to what we presented, it would not really be an issue. But halacha meiser, the Vazir ends up writing. Let's say a person didn't know the halacha, and he ends up hearing the Megillah through microphone. He recommends a person should hear it a second time, but without a bracha. I mean, he's mistopic whether or not you were yotze the first time. According to Shlomo Zalman, you weren't yotze b'chlal, not even a shaila. So you have to say a bracha and read it. Rav Moshe maybe would say that you don't have to even repeat it because he felt you're really okay. Don't even be mocha those who do it. But Rav Vosner was not sure, and he took a middle approach whereby he said, "B'dievet you should repeat it to be choshesh for the shita of Shlomo Zalman, but don't repeat the bracha to be choshesh seemingly for the shita of Rav Moshe." Okay, so we'll stop here. Yitzhak Hashem next week.